Welcome to Fan Fiction Theater.
Yeah, they're all working.
Well, good. We're here. We're present. You're all beautiful.
Don't lie to me. I know what I am, and you don't get to tell me different.
Demery, I would never lie to you.
I don't like how you're looking at me. I'm going to turn to Fayin. Hi.
Hi, gorgeous.
Hi. I like how you look at me.
Zach, I would never lie to you.
I don't like the way you're looking at me. Right? I'm going to look at Demery who's looking at Fayin.
It was unsettling.
Hey, Fayin, I love you.
Hi, gorgeous.
You're the bestest.
Okay, all right.
I just ate pokey. Please don't make me vomit on this pop filter.
Speaking of pokey, welcome to Fan Fiction Theater, the podcast where we do
Gumby fanfics about Gumby and pokey. Yes.
Oh my god, I forgot about Gumby. I used to have a little Gumby. It was a tiny ass Gumby figure, and I took it with me everywhere. And I remember one time I dropped it in the parking lot of our house. And I was hysterical for like an hour. My parents were so relieved when they found it because I was not okay.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
I had a little Gumby toy, too. I used to play with it all the time.
Well, this is the podcast where we do fan fiction, reading of fan fiction. Not just Gumby fan fiction, but maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe someday.
Maybe we'll just do exclusively Gumby fan fiction from now on.
I need to find a Gumby fan fiction now.
I think I came across one.
Demery, I think you need to write a Gumby fan fiction now.
Also, yes.
Yes. We don't read.
This is the podcast where we read fan fiction online. We don't read anything that is younger than 5 years old. Uh-huh. And we just read it aloud and we try to give it as much character as possible and we make fun of it, but with as much love as possible.
Yes. And yeah. We skip any of the extra spicy stuff because we just don't want to read it.
Yeah.
Anything that makes us uncomfortable, we decide to skip. Mm-hmm. We're
whether we read the spicy stuff or not, we might be explicit ourselves.
Yes.
And specifically going into the how old they are, they have to be at least 5 years old for us to read them. Mm-hmm. More than 5 years old for us to read them, so that we're not actively putting down writers in the present.
Yes. Yeah. We're restarting because we read one and we got all the way through the end and then we realized that it was in fact
It was apparently a 2022 fan fiction.
2022. So we've decided that we're going to have that one as bonus content for our Patreon so that we can do it. But that one's, you know, not going to be on the active podcast, but we do have it. It was silly.
So if you're interested in some extra content from Pensive Music Playing, follow Pensive Music Playing on Patreon for some bonus content.
Once we make a Patreon.
Once we make a Patreon.
So we're going to go get started. We've got to keep in line with everything. Fine is going to be first. I think we've announced everything except for we don't own anything.
Yes. We don't own any of the characters that we are reading about, and neither do the writers. What else should we say about that?
Oh, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool.
All right, Fayin, what you got for us?
Ah! I don't know.
Oh, my God.
All right, so this title is called Girl Talk. I think it is by Lone Star.
Nice. It's a better nickname than Zero.
Much better. Also, I was thinking maybe we make it a habit that all of us read the year it was published at the top.
Yeah, yes, we should.
I think we've been doing that and we just didn't.
And we just didn't this last time. This says 2008, so this okay. is safe.
This is super safe. Oh my god. That's what, 16 years?
Don't do math.
Oh god.
No.
I hate it.
Rude.
Okay.
You're welcome.
So yes, this story is called Girl Talk.
Okay.
Chapter
what's,
one.
Wait, what's the fandom?
It is Phineas and Ferb fandom.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
I know what I'm going to do today.
Oh.
So we start.
Say that in front of us while you're staring at your wife.
Hey, hon.
Hi, gorgeous. Disclaimer: Phineas and Ferb was created by Jeff Swampy Marsh and Dan Povenmire. No, really, check the credits. that was written in the fan fiction.
Yeah. Oh, in the notes? Okay.
Yes. Okay. The red-haired girl stalked toward the kitchen. She threw open the refrigerator and grabbed a diet soda. The scowl on her face suggested that she was in a sour mood. She slammed the door and headed for the stairs. At that moment, she found herself face to face with the younger girl. The visitor had a pink bow in her dark hair. What you doing?
It's Isabel. I think it's Isabel. It might be Isabel.
There was an innocence to the greeting that the older girl was thrown for a loop.
Isn't the older girl like super tall and Isabel super short? So how are they face to face? Is she crawling?
They're not. The difference isn't that bad. I mean, it's like, yeah, right.
It's Ashley Tisdale.
You're not wrong.
Ashley Tisdale, we love you. Come on the show. Well, at the moment, I'm trying to enjoy my soda. She tried to open the pull tab, but it broke off in her hand. She buried her head in her hands.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm cursed. She sat down on the stairs.
Freaking Hulk.
Where'd the soda go? Is she just smushing the soda to her face?
Yes, I think so.
She never set it down.
The younger girl walked over to her. I'm sure you're not cursed, Candace. Yes, I am. My brothers are always up to something. And when I try to tell Mom, she never believes me. Are they doing anything wrong? The little girl sat on the step next to the redhead. Well, no. Then what's the big deal? They're always doing things, and Candace sighed. I don't know. You sure you don't know? Candace whined a little. She did know, but just like that. Good job, Demery.
I don't like that.
I loved it, Demery.
Everybody else got to make weird noises that made me uncomfortable during the last recording, so I got my turn in.
Let's see. Yes, Candace whined a little. She did know, but felt uncomfortable discussing it with a girl she barely knew. She steeled herself and glanced down at the girl. You're one of their friends.
Face to face.
Yeah, face to face.
Yeah.
Why should I be telling you anything? I'm really good at keeping secrets. Whatever you say doesn't leave the stairs. She put a hand on her heart. They're sitting on the stairs.
Oh,
I missed that part. Phineas and Ferb will come onto the stairs later, though, and she'll spill the beans.
I was like, wait, is that Isabella's vigilante name? The stairs.
The stairs.
I'm the stairs.
Check the bonus content to see what that joke was about.
She put a hand on her heart and placed the other in the air. I promise. Okay, I guess that I'm jealous. There, you dragged it out of me. Jealous? Why? Well, I never got to do any of the stuff they do when I was their ages. I took ballet. I never designed clothes or entered car races.
That's because you're stupid.
Because you're a woman, silly.
Oh, no.
You can still do that stuff when you're older.
My stupid with yeah. that, didn't you?
Yes, because she can make that joke. You
I
cannot.
Know.
We've determined that you and I can't make those jokes, Zach.
You can still do that stuff when you're older. Yeah, but they got to do it now. I'd probably have to wait years from now. Maybe that's the problem. You're so stuck on what they're up to, you don't have time for yourself. Hey, I have plenty of time for myself. I have friends, hang out at the mall, and... Candace quickly covered her mouth. What? What were you about to say? You're probably too young to understand about this, but there's this guy I really, really like.
She wants to fuck Jeremy so bad.
Jeremy! Believe me, I understand. The redhead slumped down, mm-hmm. but he thinks I'm a freak. How do you know? I try to talk to him, but I can see it in his eyes. So you really like this guy? A wistful sigh from the older girl. With all my heart. Well, you just need to be calm with this guy. When you're really talking with him, don't think of him as this guy you really, really like. Think of him as just a guy. The girl hopped off of the step and picked up a can of soda. Whether or not he thinks you're a freak, which you're not, you have a better chance of ending up with him. She walked to the kitchen. Candace let out.
Someone just went through a massive breakup and is trying to write this to make themselves feel better.
Oh.
That's totally what the vibes of this fan fiction is giving.
Candace let out a light snort. How did you get to know so much about people? What are your parents, psychiatrists or something? Just Mom. She placed the can on the counter and grabbed an empty glass from the nearby strainer.
Wait, is that canon? I don't know. I don't know anything about Isabel's.
I think it's canon. I'm not sure.
Listen,
it might be.
I'll call my wife. She's watched Phineas and Ferb like way a lot. She's currently going through it in French.
Cool.
Bowling for Soup is my favorite band. That's why I that's why I know as much as I do about Phineas and Ferb, just because the Bowling for Soup content.
Just Mom, she placed the can on the counter and grabbed an empty glass from the nearby strainer. Dad's an independent contractor. She opened a drawer and pulled out a can opener.
My dad is not an independent contractor.
I guess I owe her a thank you. The girl ran the opener along the can and poured the contents into the glass. She's not the only one.
Wait, what?
She opened the can with a can opener because Candace pulled the tab off.
Yeah, it didn't work.
She opened a soda with a can opener?
There were yes, so she many. Did. Did you guys hear how many cans I had in that sentence? Yeah. She opened the can with a can opener because Candace.
Into the can.
Sorry, my brain is still... Are we really going to just go with the fact that she opened a soda with a can opener?
Why are you so worried about that, Zach? Yeah. Zach, what's the issue? Zach,
are you
what's
okay?
going on?
No, because... No, it wouldn't explode, right?
No.
No, it wouldn't explode.
Yeah.
It doesn't explode when you pop the tab.
Yeah, okay, but is she... We're talking about she popped the tab off... Threw it to her face.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot.
She like did a bunch of stuff with that soda. And I know from watching Phineas and Ferb, Candace didn't just go, ugh, and set it down. She blah, 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 and flopping it all over the place.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube bandit.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just saying, she made a mess.
What kind of soda was it?
Root beer.
Diet. Root beer?
Okay, I don't know.
It's gotta be.
No, she said diet.
Creamy Zevia root beer.
I just don't want it to be like a sticky soda.
That's all
what
soda.
What soda is all soda?
I don't have enough sodas like just on my person
to know that wet sugar is sticky.
As a soda addict, I can tell you, you're not gonna find one that's not.
I'm just imagining that something like Sprite is less sticky than like Coke.
No, it's still all
it's
sugar.
Still
no,
very
okay.
sticky.
Okay.
Aw. Can teach you something. Come with me and you'll be in a world of my addiction. All right, so should. Isabel opened the can.
With a can opener, yes.
With a can opener.
Thank you. Candace took the glass and took a sip. But why would you want to help me? We barely know each other. Us girls have to stick together.
And I want to make you my future sister-in-law.
That's also canon.
Yeah, that's also canon. I feel a lot better. I never really talked about this with anyone before. Don't you talk to your friends? I tried, but they don't have any brothers or sisters. They could care less about what my brothers are up to.
I also only care about my friends' problems when I can directly relate.
Yep.
Sorry, guys.
Yep.
So half the time you guys talk to me, I don't give a fuck.
I just don't care.
I don't even listen. I zone out.
Another sip. I guess I shouldn't either. That's the spirit. The girl hopped off of the stairs. Thank you, Candace shook her head. What's your name? Isabella. Thank you, Isabella. You're welcome. The little girl walked out of the house, leaving Candace alone. The redhead sighed as she got up and walked up the stairs. Candace shook her head as she reached for the doorknob of her room. Maybe those two aren't so bad. I mean, they do deserve credit for creativity. She turned the knob and opened the door. Her bemused expression... Oh, I'm so sorry. This is a change of scene. There was a thing.
A line.
Yes. Yes. Although technically this could all be continuous.
Yeah, it seemed like it was continuous.
Yeah, okay. She turned the knob and opened the door. Her bemused expression.
Her Bermuda expression.
Her Bermuda triangle.
Her mouth just disappeared.
Her bemused expression changed to one of shock within the span of 10 seconds. Where her room should have been was now a gaping hole. If she hadn't been so overcome with shock.
I was about to make a joke and I feel like it would have made my wife uncomfortable and I don't want to do that.
Zach and I are just wordlessly laughing at the phrase gaping hole, so it's fine.
Go in your bedroom and find a gaping hole.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Candace would have seen that the edges were lined with broken planks.
That's my bedroom, gaping holes in wood.
Jacket wood.
I hate everything that just came out of my mouth.
I know.
As if a giant creature had taken a bite out of it. Oh, hi, Candace. The girl rushed to the edge of her former room. She looked down and saw two boys in a crane. One of them, who had green hair and a striking nose, operated the crane. The other, who had a tuft of red hair atop his triangle-shaped head, held up a blueprint.
In case you don't know, that's Phineas and Ferb.
Yes.
I enjoy how this author thought that they needed to describe
Phineas
everybody.
And Ferb, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, they did it with Candace, too. Like, yeah. They didn't,
yeah,
just say
and
the
Isabella
names
with the pink bow and the dark hair. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, people are reading, they probably know what yeah. these characters look like.
The girl rushed to the edge of her former room. She looked down and saw two boys in a crane. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who had triangle-shaped head, held up a blueprint. Overwhelmed by this, Candace fainted. This never happened on Trading Spaces. Oh, whoopsie. Hold on. One moment. This never happened on Trading Spaces, remarked the boy operating the crane in an English accent.
We gotta get in our
We gotta get it in.
Ferb's gotta get it right. The boy with the blueprint simply shrugged. So much for the surprise.
Oh, they were renovating her room for her.
Yeah. The end.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's yeah. what they do okay. with one of their 100... There's 100... Four. One of their 104 days.
Math. Okay.
Yeah.
That story was cute.
And, yeah.
I feel like more depth could have gone into this.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, your writing is fine. Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Proud of you.
I mean...
I feel like whenever gaping holes are involved, more depth can go into it.
Demery. She's the reason why we have to put the explicit content.
This is correct. On hey, this. I've only said fuck like once, I think, this
recording.
Story. This particular story. So look at me go.
I mean, the title of this kind of just gave away what it was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it was literally
girl talk.
It
for,
did.
Yeah, for like 30 seconds.
So I got to say, though, nothing that Isabella said was comforting to me in any way.
Well, that's because this was written by a middle school girl who just went through a hard time, maybe her first major breakup, and the way she's trying to relate her emotions is through Phineas and Ferb fanfiction.
I also felt like a lot of her advice was just don't worry about it. We'll just stop. Oh, you're depressed? Have you tried being happy?
Have you tried going outside?
Yeah. Have you touched grass today?
Oh, that would probably fix it. Mm-hmm. Just choose to let it go.
Did I ever tell you about the time that my mother was talking about how Anthony's mother should not be depressed because she should just go get a haircut and that'll make her depression go away?
Did I tell you about the time that your mother could suck my dick? Okay, so a few weeks ago, gosh, almost a month ago, I was hanging out with a friend and I told him about the podcast.
You have more friends beside us?
How dare you?
Sorry, I was hanging out with a human who I hang out with occasionally that's not my friends because there's only you guys.
Yep.
That's better.
And he asked how we pick what fan fictions we're gonna read, and he knows that I play D&D with you guys, so he asked, he's like, so you guys just like have stories and like roll a die to like see what you're gonna read? And I was like, no. And then I was silently like, I'm gonna take that and not dox him and give him credit, so I'm just taking this. He doesn't listen anyway, it's fine. So I have compiled a list. I'm hoping to get the list up to 100 eventually, but right now it's at 12. So I'm going to roll a D12 and that will decide what fan fiction I'm reading.
Nice.
The twist. I found some of my own old fan fiction.
Oh! Yay!
And those are some of the options on the list. So we're going to let the fates decide if I read you guys my fan fiction, but I'm never going to admit if it's one of my fan fictions.
We'll just be able to tell.
I hope not.
I don't think we will be able to tell.
Here's the problem with that logic, Demery, is I'm going to assume it's yours no matter what.
Yeah. This is me gaslighting you guys to just make you paranoid.
I won't feel paranoid. I'm going to judge you.
You wrote all 12 of these.
Did you grab a die?
Oh, yeah, I got one earlier. Cool. I demanded one earlier, right. So...
What do we got?
Let's see what we're reading.
What do we got?
Fuck. No. Nope. It fell on the floor. It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Give me.
DM rolls.
I want to do it. I want to roll.
No, she's got to roll for her own.
Fine.
Yeah, middle.
Okay, fell off the table, doesn't count. Seven.
Seven.
Seven. Oh, she definitely wrote that one.
You're not right, even seeing her phone screen.
Yeah, she definitely wrote it. Is it supernatural?
She still has to read who wrote it, and so I need to know my context clues for Demery.
This was written by someone named Dim Re. I don't know.
Okay, what do we got? We have, this one is, it's in chapters, but I'll just do the first one. It is called Love You to Pieces. It is, oh, this was a Gotham fan fiction, the TV show.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Did you guys ever watch that?
I did.
I watched like the first two seasons-ish.
Yeah, and then it got away from its original premise.
Totally fair. I feel like all of DC's
the
shows
live
do that.
Action. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who is the author?
Their name is Because Fan Fiction, though.
That sounds like a Tambourine. Because Fan Fiction, though.
This was written in 2016.
And wait, how is it spelled? How is their name spelled?
It's all one word.
Oh, wow. And it's all spelled out.
Yeah, it is all spelled
just
out.
Just no spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Now, just know, if we hear that name again, it is definitely yes.
So I know Demery really enjoys Batman content.
Fair. I like all DC content.
That's fair.
Okay, so some background. So this one, well, here's a summary. It's been 12 years since the night Quinzel Lloyd witnessed her old circus friend, parentheses, if you could call him that, close parentheses, bludgeon one of his mother's lovers to death with a rock. Mm-hmm. When she discovers an article about Jerome murdering his mother that leads her to Gotham City, she's not ready to learn that he's died. She's even less ready to learn that he isn't dead anymore. So for anybody who's not familiar with Gotham, I don't remember how it ended up, but I remember that the Cameron Monaghan,
yep, sure.
The kid from Shameless, the redhead from Shameless.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not the Joker.
Yeah, I remember that, and the internet was furious because he comes on and he's like, his backstory is that he's like from the circus and he murdered his mom. And there's just this whole complicated thing where they have him act exactly like the Joker, but then he wasn't the Joker.
But then he was.
And then he died, and then he wasn't dead, and then he's dead again.
Such
but
a
then they
cop
had
it, out.
But then they had him be the Joker in like a flash forward, but he wasn't him. And it's just,
what the fuck?
It was way too vague. But they said definitively that he wasn't the Joker, and it was just disappointing because he was the fucking Joker.
Yeah,
and he did a one awesome.
Oh, he was amazing.
He's amazing.
He was so good.
Like creepy.
He was
great.
Cool. So good. He's beautiful, Cameron. We love you. Come on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the main takeaway, is that the guy that's not the Joker was totally the Joker, and his backstory that he was from the circus and killed his mom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right.
I did not do that, by the way.
Just kill your mom? Up.
You didn't kill your mom? That's great.
No, I saw my mom this last weekend, and she's doing all right.
Good. Yeah. I'm proud of you. Chapter one. Quinzel tiptoed around her parents' trailer. She could hear his sniffles from her bedroom window and wasn't surprised to find Jerome on the ground beside his trailer's front steps.
Pollen's awful.
This is a whole story about allergies. The eight-year-old looked so pitiful in the light cast on him from the hanging bulbs above them. Sorry, where were the lights hanging from if he's outside?
Sometimes there's like awnings.
Okay, all right. The eight-year-old looked so pitiful in the light cast on him from the hanging bulbs above
him. He's an eight-year-old. Of course he looks pitiful.
An eight-year-old in the circus.
From inside the house, Nat King Cole began to croon to us. I think they mean them, because they were doing it in a different... Whatever. Began to croon to them. His mother only had used the old record player when she had, quote, visitors, unquote, which always sent Jerome into a frenzy. He wouldn't be sad for long. He'd
like
be angry soon.
No, baby, not like a friend.
Jerome, that's the character we were just talking about that's not Joker, right?
Jerome Valesca.
Yeah, so Jerome is like the not Joker character.
And Zach doesn't know what a quote-unquote visitor is.
Like a business partner?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure,
yeah,
yes.
Baby boy, that's
their
it.
Money is definitely exchanged.
Yep.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
It's business.
Got
it's
it.
Business.
He wouldn't be sad for long. He'd be angry soon. That's why Quinn didn't approach him right away. She walked past him to the snake's cage and stuck a finger inside. Sheba.
He's eight, guys.
Hey, even eight-year-olds should know their fingers don't belong places.
Sheba flicked her tongue out over the child's finger and then lost interest, slithering away. Not all snakes are vicious. Thank you.
No, of course not. We're not suggesting that. We're just suggesting that eight-year-olds stick their fingers in places they shouldn't be.
Fair. Two in a row tonight, Jerome finally spoke to her, letting her know it was safe to approach. Two business deals in a row.
Wow, that's really good. As a small business owner, that's really impressive.
Two in a row. One walked out and the other walked in. I'll be out here all night at this pace, that dirty, rotten bitch. Quinn lowered herself down onto the ground a few feet ahead of him, looking up at the door to his left. The lot wasn't nearly as lively as normal. Everyone was in the tent for the show, except for Jerome, who wasn't interested in being a performer, and Quinn, who wasn't quite nimble enough to be a performer, and Lila, who began drinking in the early morning and was far too inebriated.
This sounds like a lot of people who are not performing right now.
And George, who didn't feel like it. Fred kind of hurt his foot the other day.
And Nelson totally got sick. It's all those allergies.
Jenna stubbed her toe really bad earlier and just wasn't into it.
And then someone really suddenly got a peanut allergy. It was one of the custodians. So now we've got no one cleaning up the peanuts.
Oh, my God.
It's a mess.
And then there's Malcolm.
Fucking Malcolm.
Don't even start with
there's just one performer trying to be the clown and the ringmaster and the acrobats.
That's because the rest are doing business deals with his mom.
That's where everybody is. With Jerome's mom. Okay, except for Jerome, who wasn't interested in being a performer, and Quinn, who wasn't quite nimble enough to be a performer, and Lila, who began drinking in the early morning and was far too inebriated to perform by the time night came. Do you want to take a walk or come over to my trailer? Mom bought pudding cups.
You want to come over to my trailer?
They are eight, Faina.
Wasn't Faina
He's not old enough to have
about
an
the
independent
Daphne
business.
And Velma shit
she
in
was,
the last episode?
Yes. A slip of a girl.
This is different. He's a white boy.
You know what? We're not touching that. Let's keep going.
Do you want to take a walk or come over to my trailer? Ma bought pudding cups for me this morning. I know how much you like pudding.
I love pudding.
I don't want any pudding. You're joking. There's apostrophes. Okay, because this Quinzel, so it's supposed to be Harley. So hold on.
Yeah, it's Harley.
Let me back up a little. Do you want to take a walk or come over to my trailer? Ma bought pudding cups for me this morning. I know how much you like pudding. I don't want any pudding. You're joking. You always want pudding, Valeska. She didn't expect him to lunge, but he did. And if anyone were around, they probably would have pried him off, but they weren't. So Quinn ended up on her back with Jerome seated on her stomach with both hands pressed to her throat. I don't want any damn pudding, Quinn. Now, are you going to ask me again? His voice was as wild as his eyes.
Wait, so he's sitting on her?
Yeah, he's sitting on her with his hands on her throat.
Oh, I think I did that to someone once.
Really? Well, no, let's pause. Go on.
Yeah.
Commit to your crime.
Was it a business deal?
No, he was drunk, and I think he was trying to drive home, and that was a terrible idea, so I sat on him until he agreed to let him drive.
I was about to say, he's trying to drive home and realized he couldn't get there because someone was sitting on his chest.
You're the hero, not the villain. I like this. I'm into this. His voice was as wild as his eyes, but he relaxed his hands so the girl could answer. No, Christ, no, just get off. Holy hell. Quinn reached up and pushed Jerome off onto the ground before giving a clumsy roll backwards, flipping her legs over her head and coming to a rest right side up, seated on her knees.
That's pretty nimble for someone who's not nimble enough for the circus.
Your parents are just gaslighting her. Hey. You fucking suck. It's to make her better. It's fine.
Oh, right.
Keep your lid on. I'm not some damn crow whose head you just get to rip off all willy-nilly. Uh-huh. Jerome fell quiet. His eyes were blank as he stared at her. Did I hurt you? Hardly. You mad at me? Hardly. Hardly was the word Quinn always used when she was really mad at Jerome. The word she would use when he, quote, lost his lid, unquote, and did something crazy or mean, and she had to breathe deep and remind herself that she loved her friend.
Are you saying that she's
love.
Hardly Quinn?
Yes!
You didn't pick up on that?
It took me a second.
I loved watching
the blankness.
Yep,
I did.
I'm the eyes. Yep.
I loved watching Demery get that joke.
Obvious joke. That's why I didn't make
it. I'm trying to focus on how words happen when the letters come together, guys. Okay, I can't do both at once. God. Jesus. Hardly was the word Quinn. Oh, yeah, I see it. Hardly was the word Quinn always used when she was really was mad at Jerome. The word she would use when he, quote, lost his lid, unquote, and did something crazy or mean, and she had to breathe deep and remind herself that she loved her friend and didn't want to let him know he'd upset her. Maybe because
that's healthy. That is a healthy thing to do in a relationship.
Yes, because that's what Joker and Harley Quinn are known for, is a healthy relationship.
For real. Do you know how happy I was when they made Harley and Ivy canon?
Like, yeah.
Oh, my whole soul. Nice. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fuck, where was I? I got lost. Sorry, I got lost in my Harley and Ivy fantasies, and now I don't know where I am.
I'm lost, and I don't know where I am.
Maybe because she didn't want him to feel bad. Maybe because she got the feeling he would get that crazy gleam in his eye that he got when he was torturing Vermin, and that would just give her the creeps. Jerome laughed now, his weird laugh that he only did when he was angry or upset.
Thank you for the demonstration, Zach.
You're welcome.
The laugh that made his mouth stretch all the way from one ear to the other, creating a deep divot in each cheek, like parentheses on either end of a sentence.
You know, I once read a book that had mermaids that were designed that way, where the mouths literally just opened all throughout the jaw. So, like, ooh, the corner of the mouth was all the way out here by the ears.
Like Venom?
Sure. Yeah, kind of like Venom, yes.
Yeah, I go, ew, and Dimmery's like, I'm into that.
I was also having a flashback, because I had this gorgeous, beautiful friend back home in New York, and I think she does art like that sometimes. She has this really specific art style where she draws, like, naked women, but, like, different parts of their bodies are just, like, there's no skin, so she's drawing, like, the muscle. And I think she's done stuff like that with her mouths before, I think. Or I could have been making that up. Phoebe, if I'm right or wrong, Snapchat me? Anyway. Sorry.
Hey, Phoebe, it's been a long time. I hope you're doing well.
Phoebe, I love you. Come on the show.
I went to high school with Phoebe.
Oh, yeah, you do know Phoebe.
Yes, of course. We know. How many times have we had this conversation?
I forget every time.
Fine, Phoebe.
Oh, my God, Phoebe. Oh, my God, Phoebe. Yeah, oh, my God, we love Phoebe.
With the art style, yeah, with the nude women.
Wait, guys, wait. The next sentence. Okay, parentheses at the end of the sentence. Hardly Harley Quinzel, a harlequin like no one else. He sang the words. Oh, sorry, he sang.
Wow.
Hardly Harley Quinzel, a harlequin like no one else. He sang the words. He literally sang them.
That's corny as shit.
Yeah, it is. He literally sang them.
That's about the level of originality that an 8-year-old could do. Yeah, I believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, he's 8.
They really captured the writing styles of an 8-year-old.
They did the research. Maybe they are an 8-year-old. Just with impressive.
8-year-olds, don't come on the show. We're grown adults.
I was about to say, please don't say that.
He literally sang them 2 or 3 times, laughing between each line, only stopping when the door to his mother's trailer swung open. Jerome didn't stop laughing Jerome didn't stop laughing as he looked up at the man on the stairs. He was well-dressed, probably stopped by the circus with some friends after work.
I always say, if you're going for a business meeting, you should be well-dressed.
Yes. His black hair was slicked back and his brown eyes tinted red after the drinks he had no doubt had inside. His dress pants were unzipped and his jacket slung over his arm. Because we didn't already know what was happening. I'm glad they had his pants still unzipped.
Yep.
Just went to the bathroom?
Yes. Yeah, that's it, Zach.
Mm-hmm. Jerome didn't stop laughing as he picked up a rock, which Quinn was sure he had set beside the stairs on purpose. He didn't even stop laughing as he lunged at the man, knocking him off of the steps and swinging the rock down on the man's skull.
Ooh.
Quinn was horrified and mesmerized. She shouldn't have been watching this. She shouldn't be watching Jerome bludgeon a man with a stone. She shouldn't have been so entranced by the blood splashing up against Jerome's face.
You know, shouldn't is a word that just stops so much progress.
Yeah, like the progress of me watching a man being bludgeoned to death by an 8-year-old.
Exactly. Go on.
Do you think she has everything in a contract, though, so that he can't back out of the deal once he's left if he's upset with how her kid treated him?
No.
Oh. They should have had it in writing.
They should have had a lawyer present, probably just get some more people in there.
Yes, a lawyer should definitely have him. How do we know he's not a lawyer?
Oh.
Fair, he could be his own lawyer. Yeah. Sorry, we misjudged him.
That's right.
Yes.
Anyways, he's dead now.
Maybe this is...
She should have moved to stop him as he approached her, drawing a tiny diamond on her cheek in the man's blood, and once again singing... Hardly Harley Quinzel, a harlequin like no one else. And then there's a dash, so it looks like there's a skip. All of that was in italics, which I think in fan fiction usually means like flashback or like stuff like that. And then there's a line, and it's regular, so I'm guessing this is present time. The bus came to a sudden stop, causing the sleeping Quinn to jolt forwards, bouncing her face off of the seat in front of her. Lousy, stinking, no good driver. She ought to bash his face off the steering wheel and see how he liked it. Quinn stood up, grabbed her backpack from the overhead compartment and started towards the front of the bus. She'd heard about what a shithole Gotham was, but she'd never been before. Thanks to the stories, she wasn't surprised that she was the only person getting off at this stop. God bless you, ma'am. The driver tipped his hat as the 20...
God bless you for trying to go to Gotham. Jesus. I hope I see you alive again. No.
I'll probably see you in some weird costume in a few months.
Trying to poison the water supply. God bless.
Anyway, have a good night.
God bless, ma'am. The driver tipped his hat as the 21-year-old started down the bus steps. Hardly. Quinn scoffed over her shoulder. She said the thing.
It's a thing that's almost like her name.
The sky was gray and the air was chilly. Her thin red zip-up wasn't enough to keep the cold out. Her black jeans were ripped at both of the knees and didn't help much either. She reached up as the bus began to pull away from the curb and pulled the hair tie out of her hair. Her brown tresses fell down in curls over her shoulders. At least her ears would be warm. Excuse me, mister, but... Dude, that went real black, not very Harley. I'm sorry. Excuse me, mister, but do you know where... Excuse me, mister, but do you know where... I can't not do it black. I'm sorry, guys. This Quinn's black. Quinn tried to stop a stranger passing by to ask for directions. The man didn't hesitate for a second on his way down the street. He breezed right past Quinn, silently. The next person she tried had no problem using their shoulder to push her out of the way. Apparently, she was on her own. It took her nearly an hour to finally wander across the large stone structure with the words Gotham City Police Department hanging above several sets of doors.
I automatically don't like where this is going.
Her black and white backpack with its diamond pattern slung over her shoulder.
Gee, I wonder who she's going to end up as.
I don't know.
Man. The diamond?
Yeah. That's going to be
either that or Catwoman, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's there to do business.
Yes.
Yeah, with the Gotham Police Department, yeah, she's
the
there
entire
to do business.
Police department. She's got business with all of them.
Oh, my God. Yep. She's 21, so it's fine now. It's the age you're allowed to do business. Yes. And also drink booze.
Is that the age you can finally sign up to have an LLC? Because
mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's also the age that you're allowed to drink because businessmen drink dark liquors while they talk about business in boardrooms.
My dark liquor is root beer.
I think I've seen that in movies.
Yes.
I'm a woman, so I've never been in a business.
No, sweetie. We're millennials. We've never been in a business meeting.
Also, yes. Backpacks, diamond pattern slung over her shoulder. Quinn took the stairs of the GCPD two at a time. Despite all the stories she had heard, she didn't realize she was going to face the same attitudes in the police station as she did on the streets. So, I just have a question. The first officer she tried to approach brushed her off. Hey, lady, do you know? A woman walked away without giving Quinn a second glance. After four or five attempts, Quinn lost her cool. Standing in the center of the police station, she looked up at the ceiling and screamed... It's all caps. I need to know what happened to Gerald Valeska, and I need to know right fucking now! The entire room fell silent, looking at the crazy girl in the center of it. From the top of a short flight of stairs, a young, handsome man was the first to make a move towards her.
Of course he was.
He approached her with his hand out, but his brow furrowed. Because you can't do both.
Again, thank you for demonstrating, Zach.
I'm Detective Jim Gordon. Can I help you?
Quinn knocked the hand away and glared up at this detective with squinting blue eyes. Jerome Valeska. The paper said things about him. I want to know where he is. I want to see him. Jim raised his eyebrows. That case is quite a few months old. Your papers must be pretty far behind.
Or it took her a while to get the funds, yeah. Jim. Calm down.
She's practically a child, damn it. She just started being able to do business.
Right.
Business.
Found it in the motel of a hotel lobby. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
That's where she conducts her business.
In the motel of the hotel.
It's the motel of the hotel. Yeah, you're right.
Found it.
She's just describing a Best Western. The motel of hotels.
Found it in the motel of a hotel lobby. Now tell me where the hell to find Jerome. He's not bad. Quinn faltered. Could she really say that? That he wasn't bad? Thoughts of the lover with his face caved in popped into her mind. He's complicated, and I have to see him. I have to. There was something in this man's face, in Jim Gordon's face, that told her the thing she hadn't been able to let herself imagine was possible, that Jerome was dead. But there was something else there, too. There was something a lot more frightening. End of chapter one.
Woo!
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So are we supposed to be afraid of Jim Gordon now?
I don't know. That was just chapter one.
All right. See, I've got three to choose from, but I feel like I was
shamed. The Digimon one.
I was going to say, I felt like I was shamed last time for not doing the Digimon.
No, you got to do it.
Whatever you want to do.
You got to do it, though.
Well, you got to do it. What
are the options?
Well, I've got Digimon, Jimmy Neutron, or Friends.
Ooh, that's actually really hard.
I don't like Friends, so I could probably make fun of them.
You know what? I'm okay with Friends.
I'm going to give her a minute to come back.
Let's let her eat off my...
She found the cheese. Yes, come back. Eat on the microphone.
Do not eat on the microphone.
This is now an ASMR podcast. I'm eating Cheetos right now. I can't do ASMR because I can't be serious. I'm eating. Wait. Stop laughing.
She's got it. Okay.
This is bonus content.
This is bonus content. And now we take our Cheetos.
And what?
That's an ASMR thing.
We take them.
We take our Cheetos.
And you just crunch on it.
We take them, and we take them from the bag. And then we put them in our mouth.
And crunch.
And now we eat them.
You're so good at this.
I'm gonna make a bang.
So Demery, should we do Jimmy Neutron, Digimon, or Friends?
I hate you so much. Because I have to edit this with headphones on.
Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, God. I got...
Well, she's still outvoted.
God damn it.
Okay. So I guess I'm doing the Friends one then?
Yep.
So, Faina, you've seen Friends.
Yes.
Zach, have you seen Friends?
Yes.
Okay.
All of it.
Demery, have you seen Friends?
I'm going to give you three guesses on that there, my guy.
Yes.
See, that's the thing, though, is, like, Friends is so, like,
yes,
culturally relevant, at least...
To white people?
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you guys watched Monique?
Yes.
I haven't seen Monique, but we've had the conversation of black TV shows that I've watched before.
Okay, well, Friends isn't one of them.
That's true.
I was watching Cousin Skeeter.
Wow, okay. Deep cut. That's a, wow, yeah.
Yes, okay. So this one is called The One with Salvation.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I promise it's not a religious episode of Friends. The summary is, the world ended 3 months ago, and now it's the six of them versus whatever happens to be left out there.
They all die. Sorry.
It is written by Gaia Lux, and it was written back in 2015. Huh.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Friends had been over for 5 years at that point. Right? No, because they were 10 seasons, so they would have ended back in like 2004, never mind. So this is like a decade past when Friends ended. Mm. Notes, it says, four is Quinnabel, and it is set sometime after the one with the jellyfish, though with an obvious AU bent.
Oh, alternate universe.
I know what AU means, but with an obvious AU bent?
They're
just bending the story of the one with the jellyfish?
I'm guessing, yeah.
Okay. The One with Salvation by Gaia Lux.
Oh, dear.
Faina's already upset. She hates Friends.
I hate Friends.
She cares a little bit about Joey, but that's it.
He's the only one that's the most, like, just he doesn't intend in any way to just be mean to someone. Ross is the fucking worst.
Ross is awful.
Ross is absolutely terrible.
I hate him as a human being.
Ross is the white one.
That narrows it down.
Babe.
I've only seen like clips online of Friends, yeah. And it just looks so painfully unfunny, yes, and unentertaining that
I grew up with it. My mom was a massive fan, so that's like the big reason why I still care about it, just for the nostalgia reasons. I have all 10 seasons on DVD and the final episode on DVD.
They're all horrible human beings.
How did your mother give birth to you if she's just a giant fan?
Dude.
Weak. Weak.
No, it is not. You don't talk about my wife like that.
Well, when you set a fan on high.
It had been 3 months. Monica had stockpiled calendars from every possible photo set. New York monuments, cute kittens, oceans of the world, even Playboy.
Oh, nice. So she's taken all the calendars from every other New Yorker. Great.
They're all dead.
Yeah. And it was now paying off as she meticulously marked each day that passed. Today was June 20th, the first day of summer. At least now they could travel without the bundles of jackets and blankets and Joey's makeshift thermal underwear of aluminum foil. It works, he proclaimed before the foil unraveled. He walked out of the abandoned supermarket stark naked.
I'd like to say that earlier I was talking about duct tape underwear, so I think Joey took my idea and made it worse.
Can you imagine
as you moved the tinfoil?
I don't still want metal. To.
Oh god, that's like crinkly and just
and getting into the most sensitive parts of your undercarriage. No, thank you.
No.
At least if the zombies get him, we'll be okay, Rachel had murmured as she continued to fill up her duffel bag with the dwindling supplies left. Supermarkets seemed to have been everybody's first stop. The group didn't think that far ahead.
That's everybody's... We're recording from the South. That's everybody's first stop if the temperature's gonna go below 20.
Yeah.
There aren't any zombies, Rachel. I know, Ross. It was like this most days. Sometimes the group
Rachel.
Sometimes the group was lucky enough to find an abandoned house or motel close enough to the inner city to retain the feeling of safety. It was always smarter to keep close to supplies, just in case. Chandler wouldn't admit it out loud, but the idea of zombies still crept in the back of his mind late at night when there was a bump or a snap. Chandler wouldn't draw closer to Monica and hold her until the wind passed. Chandler would draw closer to Monica and hold her until the wind passed and the world dropped into silence again. He wasn't about to let her go quickly, not after taking an apocalypse. Though not the nuclear holocaust he first predicted, she was true to her word. For her to finally admit that, yes, maybe they would make a good team. He worked every single day to prove that.
Oh my god, it took a zombie apocalypse for her to decide that maybe they would work out as a team?
Well, they weren't a couple yet by the time the one with the jellyfish came out.
Glad we know that off the top of our heads. All right, go on.
He had to pee on her foot. It was a whole thing.
Oh.
Wow, I actually didn't remember the episode. It kind of boggles my mind you do.
Tonight, for once, was silent. Even after all these months, it was still strange for Chandler after having lived in New York City his entire life.
Are you saying that no one told him life was going to be this way? had in the back of my head since we said Friends and was waiting for the first chance.
I love that so much.
Oh, I'm glad I don't have to keep that in my head anymore. We can listen now.
You get super bonus points if they use that phrase later on, which is a joke that's completely applicable. Mm.
No rush of a taxi or beep of a pissed off driver at the crack of dawn. Not even people shouting two apartments down or ugly naked guy being, well, ugly naked guy.
Mm-hmm. That's a character.
It is.
Why would they write my ex into a TV show? That's how I was nonspecific. Hey, exes, if you're listening, you're not the one I was talking about.
Chandler, are you awake? Chandler shifts to look at Monica, tucking a stray piece of hair behind her ear. Yeah, he says. Can't sleep? Monica shakes her head and rests it on Chandler's shoulder. He pulls her in closer. Nobody sleeps well. He shouldn't think he's ever been an exception. There might not be zombies, but there's still people who will do anything for their next meal or a tube of toothpaste. Civilization's cracked. And
buddy, have you seen the economy now? That's me today.
Fucking truth, man.
Wow, this predicted.
This is Friends just in its natural state years from 22. Civilization's cracked, and the only person who seemed mildly happy was Ross. I looked at Faina because I know how much she dislikes Ross.
Of course he's fucking thriving while everyone else is suffering. That's just how Ross operates.
Can you believe we're going through our own extinction? Before reality sunk in.
Oh my God.
He's so excited.
He's the worst human.
And he's one of the only ones to make it.
Oh my God.
Before reality,
I hope he burns his breakfast.
Before, that's also from the end.
Yes,
the
I know.
Song.
Don't worry, I've got them all up here.
Before reality sunk in, and now it was the six of them against the world. Monica's apartment was the world. Ross treated the end of the world like some personalized.
I have to disagree. Paina, you're my world.
Sweetie.
I'm coming for your girl.
Demery, you've been coming for my girl for how fucking long now?
Oh, I've had her.
I know. I just have her on loan, I guess. Yep. Oh, I love you, hun.
I love you too, sweetie.
Not as much as you, Demery.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll save this for court.
Zach, will you be my side piece?
I guess.
Wow.
Wow, with a little more enthusiasm,
that was
please.
Real begrudging.
No, I don't want to be someone's side piece. I'm a main dish.
I am a goddamn holiday ham, not some mashed potatoes.
I do love mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes are so good. You know, if I was going to be a side piece, I would want to be mashed potatoes.
Right. Demery, you...
I often look like I'm covered in butter with my oil skin.
Demery, you and I, we're just a step above mashed potatoes. We're from upstate New York. We're salt potatoes.
Okay, all right. I'm
salt
potatoes.
Big old basin of butter.
I do also have a big old butt.
They do
big
have
old
big
basin
old
of butter next to the salt potatoes.
And a big old butt.
Hell yeah.
My buttery butt.
Friends, you heard it here first.
If you're looking,
we like big butts and we cannot lie.
If you are looking for a hot, sexy, buttery ass, look no further than my good friend, Demery.
Oh, I really hope my dad doesn't listen to this. Okay, can we stop talking about my huge, delicious, buttery ass and get back to the
stuff? Let's talk about my stovetop stuffing.
Ross treated the end of the world like some personalized science experiment. Apparently, Dr. Geller really came into his own when Earth reverted back to 100 billion years or whatever. Apparently, a meteorite did hit Australia, he said, as he had at least once a week. Blah. Apparently, a meteorite did hit Australia, he said, as he had at least once a week since this whole thing started. Rachel tried to ignore him and just kept walking, step by step across the shattered pieces of pavement and asphalt.
Wait, but I thought Monica's apartment was the world.
They gotta go out and get supplies.
Not if the world is an apartment.
That's true.
Ha!
The
logic! Boom.
Also,
yep, you tore this fanfic apart.
I'd like to say, guys, it ain't my ass fault. It's so buttery.
Oh, God. I love you so much. That was perfect.
Thank you. Thank you.
They could have been out of New York by now if Phoebe weren't so incessant on her vibes, and Ross hadn't wanted to explore every freaking nook and cranny. For some reason, they always ended up back in apartment 20, circling the city again and again in search of something or someone she'd forgotten, which it was. Maybe there wasn't a point anymore. Hey guys! That was Phoebe's voice echoing off the buildings and their smashed-in windows. Looting apartments, shops, department stores, homes. They were lucky to find enough food to survive. Good thing Monica's kitchen was its own version of a bomb shelter for rations. They were only just beginning to run out of stock and considering crossing over into New Jersey. Phoebe had
That's the true end of the world.
This is where the apocalypse part starts.
They've been coasting since...
Phoebe had some idea that Vermont held a safe zone, but the radios died after month one, and there's nothing else out there to advise them. Yeah, Rachel called. She didn't really want to be pulled away from the only stash of new clothes they'd seen for weeks. She might have technically lost her job in fashion, but that didn't mean she had to give up completely, did it?
Right.
Yeah, priorities. In an apocalypse, look for the new clothes.
Sometimes you just need something to feel good, Faina.
Maybe that's a new dress.
Maybe it's a dick. She has an option of three, I'm assuming.
Well, no, Chandler is with Monica now at this point.
This is the apocalypse. All bets are off.
If she's looking for something to make her feel better, if she broke into a pharmacy, there's probably a lot of antidepressants left.
Okay. I think Phoebe's voice faded as though she was walking away and jumped back as an echo. I think we can go through here. Rachel dropped what she was holding. Her bag was already overloaded, and Ross refused to carry it anymore. And Phoebe's voice had taken on
Of course, because he's an entitled piece of shit.
Or maybe...
He's studying the apocalypse.
Oh, my
God. And Phoebe's voice had taken on a shrill tone on the last couple of words. It could simply be she'd seen some sign of life, but Rachel so didn't want to be left behind around here.
Rachel sounds insufferable.
Yeah, have you not
Welcome
seen
to Friends.
Yeah, you haven't seen the show. Yeah, she is. The idea of zombies might be so far fake, but Rachel wasn't
if
taking any chances.
If they show up, will they be DOA?
I love you so much. The rest of the group were already...
Just like her love life. Oh! No.
The rest of the group were already back with Phoebe by the time Rachel had crossed the now desolate street. At least New York finally found the cure to its traffic congestion problem, total world annihilation.
So funny.
If we stick to these alleys, maybe
public transit is the answer. Just saying.
It's almost like they're stuck in second gear.
Get out.
Look, buddy, I'm the pun guy. Back off.
If we stick to these alleys...
My job's a joke, and I'm broke.
Okay. It's a great theme song. If we stick to these alleys, maybe we won't run into people, Phoebe was saying. A breeze picked up, and Rachel rubbed at her arms. People was now a word of fear.
Wait, that's part of the theme song, isn't it? What
yes,
you just said.
Yes.
Love life. Yeah.
I just thought your life was terrible, and I laughed at that.
Your job's a joke, you're broke, your love life's DOA. Dope. It's like you're always stuck in second gear.
Yeah. I thought that was a traffic joke.
Nope. It's...
Part of the song.
I'm still going on the theme song. Listen, I'm easy jokes. That's what
this has all completely gone over my head.
That's okay.
Now I think Zach and I are going to try and at least find every line in the song.
Mm-hmm. That... And don't worry, Dimory. I'll be there for you to help you with things.
Zach! Or we could get trapped, Ross said. Of course it was Ross. Even with the end of the world, he had to be the eternal pessimist. We were going the right way. Come on, Joey said. He was already walking through the narrow wall of two brick buildings. Rachel thought it was the back of a bank, but she couldn't be too sure. They were one of the first to be vandalized beyond recognition. They followed. Once a few years back...
You can still tell if a bank is a bank.
They're behind the bank. They can't tell if the bank's a bank when they're behind the bank. Yeah.
Got you.
What a waste of time it was to steal money as the world ended.
Right. Money's fake.
It is. It's an illusion.
They should just find all the cake on the floor and grab a fork.
My cake.
That is also a Friends reference.
Oh, okay. It also missed it. I was going to say something about how my cake is in this chair.
I thought your buttery ass was in that chair.
My butter cake.
Once a few years back, Phoebe's psychic advisor warned her of the end of the world.
I'm sorry, Zach looks like defeated.
Like the world has brought him down to his knees.
Wait up!
Admittedly, there was supposed to be a fire that started in Europe and jumped
Maybe
across
the
to
rain
America.
Should start to fall.
Admittedly, there was supposed to be a fire that started in Europe and jumped across to America rather than a meteorite taking out half of Australia.
What?
How did it jump over all of that water?
Phoebe's psychic advisor had said that there was supposed to be a fire in Europe that made its way to America fucking somehow.
Yeah, no.
It went north and then it went south.
No, I get it, guys. This is actually, so this is Friends, but it's set kind of far into the future, so the whole ocean is just oil now.
That would do it.
Yeah.
So they're Mad Maxing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of.
But sure. Semantics were never important. Point is, Phoebe hadn't quite managed to kick the guilt of following her around for not warn... What? Phoebe hadn't quite managed to kick the guilt of following her... I'll kick the guilt following her around for not warning everyone about what was going to happen, which was why now she had to make sure the group got to safety. Vermont, her psychic had murmured, rocking back in her chair with eyes closed tight. Safety haven. Phoebe had never been steered wrong by her before, so it seemed like the best option. Of course, her friends didn't exactly agree with that sentiment. So
she said the name of the show.
What is the name of the thing?
So pretending to hear it on a radio before they all crackled to a stop was a harmless white lie she held onto. It wouldn't be long before they were there. The walls kept getting narrower and narrower, but Joey wasn't about to admit he may have made a mistake by listening to Phoebe. Besides, she was the only one trying to get them out. Ross was being his usual buzzkill, Rachel wanted to stop and check out every store for supplies, and Monica and Chandler, well... Would you guys
well,
stop...
Well, what? Are I they mean, arguing or are they fucking? What is this?
They just started getting together, so yes, they're not fucking, but... Would
Is
you
this
guys
like Ron and Hermione in the Battle for Hogwarts?
Sure.
They were just like at it.
Okay, but are they lost?
They're making their way to Vermont, or at least Phoebe's trying
and
to get them to go to Vermont.
And they haven't gotten out of New York City yet?
No, because
they're acting like they're lost. They can't be lost.
They're going through alleys.
You can't just take alleys to Vermont. Right.
I'm not saying it's a good plan or well written.
Okay. You know that back alley that connects the pizzeria to the laundromat?
Yeah.
That's how you
if
get
we
to
take that, we'll go two alleys over, we'll be in Vermont.
Sure.
Okay. So they're going through a narrow alleyway. Would you guys stop holding hands? You won't fit, Joey called behind him. Damn, wasn't supposed to mention the narrowing. What, Monica yelped? How won't we fit, Joey? Just calm down. Joey had to swallow hard to catch the crack in his voice. He wasn't panicking. He wasn't. Monica just had a way of making him think the worst was yet to come, and these walls were starting to pull in close. He pressed his hands against the cool brick on either side. His elbows were bent but didn't touch his body, so it was okay. Really, it's fine. You're all putting your hands up right
now. Yeah, we're testing it. So the length.
Okay.
Now we're a seance.
No, you gotta read.
We're summoning.
He didn't look back but was grateful for the footstep. He didn't look back, but was grateful for the footsteps following him. The walls weren't getting closer. They weren't, even if they felt like it. This is the right way. I know it. Shut up, Phoebe. Monica's voice had still taken on a hysterical edge. And then, finally, light. They should have stayed in New York City longer. Not only were their supplies dwindling, but nobody actually had a clue if this safe haven even existed. Well, what other choice do we have, Rachel?
Wait.
They're leaving New York to go to Vermont for the safe haven.
But
it sounds like they're actually trying to take alleys all the way to Vermont.
No, they're taking the alleys to avoid people. Weren't you paying attention?
I am. It's just not written well.
I know. The dead on arrival people?
I may also not be reading well.
No, you're reading just fine. It's just these people are trying to take alleys. This is humanity's hope.
You know, not once in this story have I heard about anyone having a gun. So is this not set in America? Or...
Well, what other choice do we have? Rachel said when Ross told the group these very issues. Somebody had to be the voice of reason. And it was fucking Rachel? All right. Stay here where we know it's relatively safe? That was, still was, the smartest option. Not being on the other side of New York and trying to remember where the border was. Things were different when they were ended.
They're in New York State now.
Oh.
They got out of New York City and into New York State.
All of New York State is just alleys.
None of New York State that I was this in is, had alleys.
We grew up in the alleys of New York State.
No, this
memory.
Is not accurate at all. Where are the cows? Where is the meth? This is not New York State.
Where is the snow that I need to spend 6 hours shoveling? Like, what?
You scared, Ross? Monica asked, devilish grin splitting across
scared,
her face.
You baby little fuck nugget.
It was like she had forgotten
the apocalypse.
It was like she had forgotten her own reaction to that narrow space just minutes before. No, he wasn't. He just also wasn't interested in getting stranded in a city he didn't even know the name of. For some reason, street and city signs.
I bet they
signs...
haven't even made it farther than Westchester.
For some reason, street and city signs were some of the first things looted in these early months of Armageddon.
Okay.
You gotta decorate your dorm room all cool when the apocalypse happens.
Man, that's what I put on the side of my cars is armor, street signs.
Sure you're not. Monica was 12 years old again and teasing Ross about his ballet or dinosaur collection. Well, who was the joke now? There was proof the world had ended and wiped out most of the reptiles once before. Cool.
You're still
dinosaurs
the joke,
aren't
Ross.
Reptiles. Phoebe was already...
No, dinosaurs are chickens.
Phoebe was already walking away from the group, her footsteps just loud enough in the echo of buildings and vast, vast land. Wordlessly, the rest followed. Maybe sometimes Ross could just learn to accept. Then there's a picture of the door, of the famous door from Friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
They did make it to Vermont, then to Maine, where the real safe zone was. A start of something new, fresh, in a
so
house
So Phoebe's
they could...
psychic was wrong.
In a house
state.
In a house they could soon paint purple with a gold frame etched across the door.
But
the
hey.
End.
Okay, so this person got bored with their own fan fiction.
They just ended it.
But hey, now that they're in Maine, they could meet up with J.B. Fletcher and solve some murders.
Faina has been watching a lot of Murder, She Wrote lately.
Yeah.
So,
guys, this is going to shock and awe you. But
you've seen all of...
Demery's a massive fan of Murder, She Wrote.
I turn around and pull up my shirt, and I just have a full-size back tattoo.
Angela Lansbury yeah. all over, yes.
So, I will admit, that was boring as shit.
Yeah.
Like, they wanted to play with the characters in an apocalyptic setting,
but
did
they
nothing
got, they
with
got
them.
Bored of them.
Yeah.
They, even
it
they
really
were like,
feels
no,
like
this
they
is...
Got bored
they were just like... And now they're... Walking through, you know what? They got there.
They didn't know how to write all six characters together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of just, it sounded like they just hit on like their main
Their favorite
trait.
Parts of like Chandler and Monica and then Ross being an annoying little
but
shit.
They didn't even have Joey say, how you doing?
Yeah.
How you
like,
doing?
All he had to do was like.
But then again, who would he say it to in an apocalypse?
He see. Oh no, no, no! But see,
Phoebe,
that's the thing.
Mike's not a part of the picture yet. No. Phoebe's totally available.
No, 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 no. So what he does is he sees Chandler freaking out, and it's not. It's he goes, "How you doing?" And it's they make a comment of change of how he's changed so much, and they add in little bits of the intro. You know what? Give me the fit. I'm gonna rewrite it.
You know, so I do think they really could have built on this one a lot more, and I think it could have been fun, because they're fun characters. Whether you like the show or not, it's a fun group of friends that, like, if they put them in an apocalyptic setting, it could be really interesting.
I mean, they did it with Scooby-Doo.
They did it with Scooby-Doo, and it's great. I'm just saying, like, this has potential, but it didn't quite reach what they should have because, yeah, they got bored with their own stuff. Mm. And that's a shame, in my opinion.
We're walking down an alley and, you know what? Here's a door.
We're in Vermont. Now we're in Maine. Safe haven.
I think they, like, thought about adding zombies because I think there was, like, there are zombies, maybe, at the beginning, and then we just didn't touch that.
Yeah.
I think they just really don't understand the characters in the way that they should, because where the fuck was Chandler's sarcasm the entire time?
Yeah, he didn't have any.
No.
Mm-mm. They had Monica's analness.
Sure.
Well, this was fan fiction theater. Thank you,
for
guys.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
Reminding you that you're handsome and you deserve love.
And your ass is buttery.
When you got it, flaunt it.
That's a different fan fiction. Remember, we are on TikTok, Facebook.
We are on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find us by searching Pensive Music Playing. If you want to find fan fictions, or you have some that are at least 5 years old and not gonna make us uncomfortable in a bad way,
preferably within 1,000 to 2,000 words.
Yes, preferably between 1,000 and 2,000 words. Yes. Please send them to us at pensivemp@gmail.com. That is PENSIVEM as in music, P as in playing, @gmail.com.
All right, thank you guys, and we will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay buttery, folks.